Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. It says in chapter 5, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you." You see, back in the days, it was part of the law that all the men had to get circumcised. It was part of the old covenant, it was part of being clean. But after Jesus had come and fulfilled the law, you didn't need to get circumcised anymore just to be holy, just to be acceptable in God's eyes. But some of the Jews and the Pharisees were still saying to all these new Christians that were not Jews, all the Gentiles, there was a lot of argument about, hey, you still need to get circumcised because without that, you can't be saved. You can't be part of God's family. So Paul is saying to them, if you're going to accept circumcision, after what Jesus has done, what Jesus has done is circumcision of the heart. We've been given new hearts. He's saying, you don't need circumcision anymore. If you're going to be so hung up on the law, then Christ is of no advantage to you. I testify again, verse 3 says, to every man who accepts circumcision, that he is obligated to keep the whole law. So he's saying, if you're going to stick with circumcision and think that's the main thing, and go back to Leviticus, Exodus, and you've got to fulfill each and one of every law that is in there. And who knows? No one could ever fulfill in all of those. Especially you think of the Ten Commandments. God gave those to the people of Israel so that they could actually see that they need a Savior, that they need God, that they can't do it by themselves. But it's only through God that we can actually live a life that is worthy of his call. So he's saying, hey, if you want to stick with that, then you got to fulfill all of that. You got to get it all done. Do not lie. Hey, who's never lied here before? No one. You're lying right now. See what I'm saying? So it says in verse 4, you are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. So by them focusing so much on the law and using that to determine their position in Christ, saying you've fallen away from grace. Grace is something that we do not deserve. We are saved by grace. That's what justifies us, our faith. So verse 5 says, for through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Only faith working through love. This is the key. Faith working through love. We get so caught up in, can I do this? Can I not do that? Can I smoke? Can I watch porn? Can I marry five women? Can you do this? Can you do that? We get caught up so much in that. And we miss that. It's actually about having faith. And that faith working through love. And then our deeds, what we do, flows out of grace and out of love. The question is not, can I do this? Can I do that? But it's actually, is it wise to do this and do that? How is it going to impact others around me? Verse 7 says, you are running well, because these are people that had been saved, but they're starting to listen to lies that they have to get circumcised. So Paul says to these people, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? They knew the truth. We know the truth, but we can all slip away from the truth. Oh, you were running well. What happened? What happened to Jesus being your first love? What happened to reading the word? What happened to walking in the Spirit? He says to them, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brother, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettled you would emasculate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers. We were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. That's what Jesus died for. It says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And then it says, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, that word comes up again, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. All of God's law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's how we fulfill the law of God. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Verse 16, the last verse I'll read in this moment is, says, but I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So our title this morning is Freedom is Your Responsibility. Anyone here from Yuma Church? So one of our kingdom culture values is freedom is your responsibility. And the question that we ask is, how am I stewarding my freedom? How are you stewarding your freedom? It is for freedom that Jesus Christ has set us free. Who doesn't want to be free? Man, I want to be free. We all want to be free. No one wants to be in bondage. No one wants to be a slave. Growing up in Zimbabwe, man, I wanted to be free because my parents had worked so hard and they had a property that was like an acre, all fenced up, walls everywhere. You can't even see what's happening. I had to like jump on a rock that was by the wall to see what was happening outside. And I'm just like, man, I want to be free. Because growing up before that, I used to go visit some relatives in poorer areas where there's no fences, the houses are smaller, it's high density. Just be outside playing soccer with peeps on the road, just having fun, it's getting dark. Go back in the house whenever you want, go back out again. Now I'm all fenced up. Drive to school, drive back. A few times they would let me go out there and play with some of my friends. Next thing I'm like, Mom, so the guy's been smoking. What? The guys have been smoking? I was only like, probably like 8. And I was hanging around with guys that were smoking. They were probably 13. Some of them were my age. So then I got banned from leaving the house. So I was that kid that's just always in the yard. There was heaps of space. What more do you need? I had brothers and sisters. But actually, there was a boundary there. And when I think about it, my parents actually paid a price. You know, they bought that property. They worked hard. They paid a price so I could be protected through those boundaries. A lot of those guys I was hanging out with as we grew up, I just used to just watch them. They didn't get far. They weren't walking with the Lord. And I'm just glad that my parents protected me from that. You know, they paid the price. So we can think freedom looks a certain way, but it's actually not freedom. And when we think about God, right from the start, created man and woman, Adam and Eve, he gave them freedom. Freedom in the garden to rule, to reign, to have dominion. They were free. They were naked. They were just roaming around. Don't start having visions of us all being naked around the place. Because now sin's in the world, so it gets a bit dodgy. But they were so free and pure. But they still had a boundary. Don't eat from that tree. And that was to protect them. That was to protect them. That was to give them life. But we all know they messed up, and that's how sin came into the world. But God still wanted us to be free, to be in relationship with Him. So He chased humankind. He pursued us. And then Jesus paid that price on the cross so that that freedom could be restored. He died on the cross. He rose again. And now we walk in freedom. We walk in freedom. Freedom was restored. So it says, it is for freedom that Christ set us free. But as much as we are free, who knows, there's a problem. We have a tendency, all of us, myself included, to slip back into slavery. There's a tendency to slip back into slavery, slip back into just being tied by things that take us away from being free. Think about a prisoner. They've been in jail for however long. They finally get their freedom. They start living life again. But if you look at the stats, you'll see that most of them end up back in prison again. There's a tendency to just go back to the things that we know, the things that we're accustomed to, the things that we're tied to. Think of a soldier who's been at war for years, just not sleeping that well, sleeping on the floor, fighting all different battles, comes back home, comes back to his wife, comes back to a king-sized bed, comfort. Out of habit and out of what he knows or what she knows, just goes back to the floor, to sleep on the floor, because there's a tendency to just slip back to what we know, what makes sense. If we read in Galatians 5, verse 2 to 5, it says, "Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obliged to keep the whole law. You are servant from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace." See, when we slip back, slipping back can be two things. There's two extremes. One is that of being so focused on the law. Legalism, or the word says this, you got to do that, you got to do this. We put the law so much above love and faith that we're just like all about obedience. Obedience, this is what the word says, you got to do that. Oh, they're not doing this. Oh, you're being too happy clappy. Oh, you're doing this, you're doing that. We can be so legalistic. I don't have to explain that. You guys know what it means. People think that's what Christians are. People that are just about the don't do this, don't do that. So you've gone from being, you've been set free, but now you're trying to pay the price again. Jesus has done it all. Our actions, our deeds, our works, they're not going to add to our salvation. But we start trying to make people pay for salvation. We start trying to make ourselves pay for salvation. So we become legalists. We become so tied up, like the Pharisees. They're like, "Have you guys washed your hands?" They're talking to Jesus' disciples. "Have you washed your hands?" Because there was laws about being clean. They were more focused on that than the heart of the issue. So that's one extreme. But you see, when we get so caught up in, "I've got to do this, I've got to do that," that makes us start to feel self-righteous. Oh, so just because I tithe, I give this amount of money, just because I serve, just because I went to the prayer meeting, just because I got my child dedicated, God's so pleased with me, just because I haven't watched porn for however long, those things start to make us feel a certain way. But how is that slavery? It's slavery because we end up messing up. We end up messing up. And then when we mess up, what happens? We feel guilty. We feel shame. And what's happened to the freedom? What happened to what Christ died for? There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But where our focus needs to be, this is all by grace. This is all by grace. Lord, I receive your love. I receive your grace. And because of your love, I actually won't do this. Because it's like as you spend time with God, as you're around God's people, your desires change. But if we focus on the works, where we become slaves to the works, but we can never achieve it. But then the other extreme, that's not legalism, is licentiousness. We give ourselves a license to just do whatever. Oh, it's all by grace. It's all by grace. Oh, God will forgive me. I can do a little bit of this. I can do a little bit of that. See, Christianity should feel like my chains are gone. My chains are gone. We're just so relieved. We're so thrilled. We just sit in this place and say, oh, thank you, Lord. My chains are gone. But we can easily be all about, oh, I better not screw up. Someone's like, did you say screw up in church? But that's how we think. Instead of my chains are gone, if you just think about that, I'm free. I'm so free. Lord, you have set me free. I want to walk in your freedom. What does that mean, Lord? What's true freedom? You start to walk in his ways. The word says that he is the truth and that the truth will set us free. Where his spirit is, there is liberty. But we can easily get caught up in the, I shouldn't mess up. It says in verse 13, for you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. How can you use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh? Just think about it. What is it? You see, we don't have Pharisees anymore. We don't have all these religious leaders saying, hey, what are you doing here? What are you doing? So there's some freedom to that. But we can actually go, oh, well, there's no one watching me. There's no one seeing what I'm doing. I've got the Holy Spirit. I'll just talk to the Holy Spirit. I'll just mess up. He'll understand. And just do what we want when we feel. Because no one's necessarily going to say, hey, how are you going? You know, that's taking grace for advantage. For granted. I'm free. I can get into a bit of this. Alcohol, drugs, sex, gaming. It's so easy to think, oh, I deserve it. I've worked hard. I'll just do a little bit of this. But we actually become so tied to those things. So instead of being free, we become slaves to all those things. The Bible says all things are permissible, but not everything is beneficial. I should not be a slave to anything. So that's the problem. We tend to slip back into slavery. But a solution is that we actually need to find true freedom in Christ Jesus. That's where true freedom is. I'm not here trying to condemn anyone. I'm just like you. We're all the same. We're all on a journey. And like I said before, Romans 8:1 says there's therefore now no condemnation. But there's true freedom. That can only be found in Jesus. What's the difference between worldly freedom and Christ-centered freedom? The world tells us that we got to earn it. If you want to be free, you got to work for it. You got to earn it to be free. It's a right to be free. It's an entitlement. But this freedom, it's like, oh, it's all about me. It's my truth, my freedom. That's how the world sees it. But when you look at the word, true freedom is from Jesus Christ. And there's nothing we can do to earn it. It's a gift. It's a gift. Freedom is a gift from Jesus. And it's not just, oh, it's all about me. It's actually about others. You're being focused on others. You're in a place where you can love others. It's driven by love. It's not about ticking a box. I've done this, I've done that. Jesus has already paid the price. Are you living in the freedom that he died for? Something for us to really think about. Am I living in the freedom that Jesus died for me to have? Or are we trying to pay the price ourselves by our works? So worldly freedom is, it makes us end up in bondage to sin. Because we think of freedom as just do whatever you want. Go however you want. But actually, a lot of it, you end up in bondage because there's chaos when there's no boundaries. And God gives us direction in boundaries. And even this world is based on God's word. There's laws everywhere. What's the point of having laws? The laws that we have in our world, in our countries, is to bring protection, is to bring direction. But great direction comes from the Creator himself, the designer himself. He has given us direction in his word. But with worldly freedom, we get so caught up in sin, so much that we'll serve self, we'll serve ourselves, we'll get what we want at the cost of others. It's like, oh, well, as long as I do what I need for my family, what I need for my career, if that's going to trample someone else, I'll just let them deal with it. Now, that's worldly freedom. It's called the rat race. Just go for it. Just gas to survive. You know, there's a song I used to like listening to because it just got a good beat to it. It's by Snoop Dogg and Wiz Khalifa. I was going to play it, then a word came up and I was like, oh, I didn't have that version. But it goes something like this. So what, we get drunk. So what, we smoke weed. We're just having fun and we don't care who sees. So what, we go out. That's how it's supposed to be. Living young and wild and free. Anyone heard that before? Yeah, I got some friends. But they're saying living young, wild and free. So what? We get drunk. So what? We smoke weed. We just have fun. And we don't care who sees. We don't care who sees. Like, this stuff impacts our bodies. It impacts other people. So we don't care who sees. That's how it's supposed to be. I like they call it living young and wild. It's definitely wild. But is it really free? Is that really freedom? What is true freedom? See, that is temporary freedom in the moment. Oh man, it feels good. I've been drunk a couple of times. Feels good at the moment. Not this moment. Yeah, drunk in the spirit. But you know, it feels good at the time. But we know you pay for it the next day. You pay for it the next day. It's temporary freedom in the moment, but it actually results in long-term enslavement and bondage and consequences. We think, oh, it's just a now thing, but it actually does a work in us, in our mindset, in our spirits, things that we allow to come in that are against God's will and God's design for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3:17 says, now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's where we find freedom, in the Holy Spirit, in his presence, in his word. Tim Keller, a preacher, author, minister, has this long quote that says, modern people like to see freedom as the complete absence of any constraints. But think of a fish. Because a fish absorbs oxygen from water, not air. It is free only if it is restricted to water. If a fish is freed from the river and put on the grass to explore, its freedom to move and soon even to live is destroyed. The fish is not more free, but less free, if it cannot honor the reality of its nature. The same is true with airplanes and birds. If they violate the laws of aerodynamics, they will crash into the ground. But if they follow them, they will ascend and soar. The same is true in many areas of life. Freedom is not so much the absence of restrictions as finding the right ones, those that fit with the realities of our own nature and those of the world. So this is where we find direction. This is where we find guidance in the Word of God. I love that. You guys doing good? God's boundary is love. If you think about, oh man, are you saying I've just got to follow the restrictions that are in the Word? Don't do this, don't do that. This book is all about love. That is our boundary. That is our direction. We're to walk in and out of love. Jesus was given to us through love. The Holy Spirit was given to us through love. And the boundaries are there to protect us. See, at different points we try to run from God because we want to be free. Run from God so you can be free. Because we're seeking freedom. But we actually realize that we get lost. We have no direction. There is no fulfillment. It's only temporary. But actually, the more you give of yourself to God, the more you give of yourself to God, the freer you become. That's called lordship. Giving yourself to God, your creator, your director, the lover of your soul. Giving, like, the more you give yourself to him, the more free you become. Because he knows how you're wired. He knows what you're like. He knows how you think. He knows what he wants you to look like in 5 years, in 10 years, at the end of your life. So we actually get enslaved when we're far from God. But the closer we are to him and we come to that place of, these are not restrictions, boundaries, laws, but it's actually a love letter from God that's going to give us direction, the more free we become. So like I said at the start, freedom is our responsibility. Freedom is your responsibility. Jesus has given us this gift of freedom. It's a gift, and we have to steward it. You have to keep it, because you can easily lose the freedom. You can easily abuse it, but we need to use it. So how do you lose freedom? By slipping back into slavery, guilt, shame. How do you use it? By being wise because of the Word, making wise decisions. And by walking in love, by stewarding freedom. How do we abuse it? By just, I'll just do whatever I want. I'll just do whatever I feel like. There's actually no freedom in that. There's another quote that says, if a thing is free to be good, it can also be free to be bad. If a thing is free to be good, it can also be free to be bad. So freedom is really something we need to steward. So what can I do, Steve? What am I allowed to do? Wisdom. Walk in wisdom as we make choices that lead to constructive options that will build others up around you. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Don't be concerned for your own good, but for the good of others. That comes from 1 Corinthians 10, 23 to 24. 1 Corinthians 6, 12 says, you say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. So freedom is a gift. We all have this gift. This gift is available. We didn't earn it. Christ died so that we could have it, and we need to steward it. And for us to steward this freedom, we have to walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. The word says in Galatians 5:25, if you live by the Spirit, also keep in step with the Spirit. So we can have this freedom, but we can slip back. But to stop ourselves from slipping back into legalism, into licentiousness, thinking, you know, we've got the license to do whatever we want, the solution is actually finding true freedom in Christ. But still, there's obstacles that come. Even if you're stewarding that freedom, fear of what people are going to think, fear of what you're going to miss out on, fear of man. What are people going to think? What will they think when they see me living this way, when they see me saying this? See, that's not freedom if we walk in fear. Another obstacle is control. We just want to control things. We want to control outcomes. Isolation, being isolated, being by yourself and not doing life with anyone. Just being in your own world. Before you know it, you're not walking in freedom. We can be so afraid of what society is going to think, what culture is saying. There's just so many voices, but we need to stick with this voice. God's word is our foundation. See, fear and love are not compatible. The word says perfect fear casts out. Man, that's it. Perfect love casts out all fear. Oh, what's perfect fear? See, they're not compatible. So our behavior will be directed by either one of those. Fear or love. Fear or love. Freedom will lead to love. Fear leads to destruction, leads to death, leads to selfishness. So what influences your behavior? Is it fear or is it love? Behavior fueled by fear manifests as control. We try to control what we're afraid of. What are you afraid of? We can all fear that we're not doing enough as Christians, as dads, as moms, as children, as employees. We can just, I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing enough. And then we become slaves to a performance mindset. It's all about what I do, what I do. What are you fearing? What are you trying to control? I was fearing that Candace was not going to preach today. And now I'm walking in freedom. Oh, man. So there's obstacles. Fear, control. But Christ died so that we could have freedom. So when these obstacles come, what the world's saying, when we get isolated, when we're comparing ourselves to others, when we feel like we're not enough, we need to turn our eyes on Jesus. When anxiety comes, when depression comes, because these are all things that can enslave us, we need to turn our eyes on Jesus because he says he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. It's for freedom that you have been set free. Are you actually free to act out of love? Just think about your life right now. Do you feel free to act out of love with your siblings, with your parents, with your employees? Are you free to act out of love? Or are you working out of fear? Fear that you might lose your job. Fear that you might not get promoted. It's not about works, it's about grace. We heard before, the whole law is fulfilled in love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. I hope you guys are getting something from this. We've got another 45 minutes. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. But turn your eyes upon Jesus. See, the call to freedom, freedom is your responsibility. The call to freedom is a call to love. I want you to walk out of here today thinking freedom, love. If you're going to walk in freedom, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Are you able to walk in love? The call to freedom is a call to love, not to use our freedom as a license to sin. So what are we to do? Walk by the Spirit. It says, walk by the Spirit, Galatians 5:16, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. See, we all have flesh in us. We're saved, but we still have flesh in us. There's still a sinful nature in us. So we have Spirit and we have flesh. Walking by the Spirit means we're feeding the Spirit. There's a lot of things around us that will feed the flesh. There's a lot of things around us that will satisfy the flesh. There's a tension, there's a competition. So we actually have to be intentional to feeding our spirits, to walking by the Spirit, to asking God, I need more of your presence, more of your Spirit. And as we do that, we'll gratify the things of the Spirit rather than the things of the flesh. There's nothing wrong when flesh desires come and you think, oh, I want to do this or I want to. It's called temptation. But temptation is like birds flying over our heads in the air. We can't stop that from happening, but you can stop it from nesting on your head. So the thoughts are going to come, and the way you stop from nesting on your head is by walking by the Spirit, feeding your spirit with God's word, depending on God. That gives you the freedom to then say no. No. Oh, I can't say no. I just love it so much. Are you walking out of fear or out of love? Are you depending on God or on yourself? Romans 13:8 says, owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Owe no one anything except to love each other. I just think when we get to a place where we can love those around us, ones that we know, ones that we don't, we've stepped into freedom. Where we can walk away from bitterness, unforgiveness. We've got to be ourselves. Be free to be yourself. When you study the Word reads you. The Word actually reads you. The Word tells you where you're at. The Word tells you where God wants you to go. The Word tells you what your destiny could look like. But it tells you who you are in Christ, your identity. So you've got to be free to be yourself. Be free to be yourself. Study the Word. Live free from that performance mindset. Live free from wanting to control everything. Live free from a lifestyle of legalism. Have I done this? Have I not done that? Tick box, tick box. There's things that have to be done. But we can't be like at the end of the month, end of the day, am I worthy of God or am I worth more because of what I've done or what I haven't done? That is not freedom. Your freedom should be in this. I am where God wants me to be. If you're seeking God and He's directing you and you sense, man, I'm where God wants me to be. I might not have made it, but I'm not where I used to be, but it's like I'm where God wants me to be. You being in church right now today, no matter what's happening in your life, you're open to the Word, open to the Spirit, you're where God wants you to be. And that brings freedom, but you want to stay in that place of saying, God, what are you saying? As I leave this place today, what are you saying? As I wake up tomorrow, what are you saying? Where are you leading me? Who's leading you? Are you leading yourself or is God leading you? He's got to lead you first before you lead yourself. So your freedom should be in, I'm where God wants me to be, not what do others think of me. We can be so driven by, oh, if I do this, if I don't do that, what are they going to think of me? And we'll be doing that forever and never be happy, never feel free. Time. Walking by the Spirit is how we walk in freedom. But we need to be free from time. We can be slaves to time. Oh, man, I don't have time. Time's running out. I'm just so busy. Jesus didn't run around from one thing to the next. Jesus would prioritize his quiet, private time with God. Jesus would stop whilst he's going somewhere else for someone in need. He was in a rush. And God wants us to walk in a pace of grace. It's all by grace. We can be so enslaved by time. Yeah, there's things that are important. There's priorities. There's deadlines. But we're never going to meet all of them. But when we come to God and we say, Lord, time is a gift from you. Everyone has 24 hours. We all have it. It's a gift. And we steward it by saying, Lord, I love what Steve McCracken says. Instead of saying, I don't have any time. It's like, Lord, what is it time for? You ask God, what is it time for? Come on, Pastor Steve, where's his family lunch? What is it time for? But you ask God, what is it time for? Because you've got so many priorities, so many things you're trying to do. When you ask him, what is it time for? When you got a list of 20 things you're trying to get done, he will show you. He'll put on your heart what you need to do. At the same time, as you're open, he'll say, hey, just leave that. Do this instead. So we need to be free from being enslaved by time. If I could get you to all stand as we come to a close. If the worship team could join me. See, there's many believers that are living in a jail cell with open doors. Many believers that are living in a jail cell with open doors. Jesus said in Luke 4:18, I have come to proclaim freedom to the captives. He came to set us free. And it's so easy, even as Christians, as people that love God, people that love the Holy Spirit, to live lives as if we're in jail, when there is more for us. There's more freedom. Freedom from worry, freedom from anxiety, freedom from the comparison trap, freedom from people approval. Whatever it is that you need freedom for, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Freedom is a call to love. It's a call to love. If you're not able to love, you're not walking in freedom, in the freedom that he died for. And I know some of this word today might seem harsh, but I believe there's something for everyone in this word. And as simple as it can be, it is just that God wants you to live in freedom. If we could all just close our eyes in this moment. Jesus does not give us freedom to do what we want, but Jesus gives us freedom to follow God. A freedom of just doing what you want. What I want is not a freedom from God. The freedom that he gives us is to follow God. And as we seek to serve God, Jesus' perfect truth frees us all to be what God meant for us to be. Who doesn't want to walk in what God has for them? He's the creator. He's our maker. We can go on this rat race, this goose chase, where we're trying to make things happen. We're trying to find our true selves, a better version of ourselves. But we're just wasting time. Because actually the one who created you, the one who's written your purpose down, the one who has written your name in the book of the Lamb, the one that has authored all your days, he's just saying, come son, come daughter, walk in my freedom. The freedom we have is not just freedom to go to heaven to be saved, but freedom to have heaven on earth, to invite him into our everyday.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God, and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.